Okay. We're doing, we're in Kufir Dawarokhe, doing part two of what we call the Pesach medicine list. Really done Umil Mar Nafshe, we have a focus on that. So I'm just going to give a quick chazar just to remind us where we are from last time before we move on to where we are today. Okay, you remember this slide, there are four cases that we're going to talk about, that Shulchan Aruch talks about, where you do or don't say Umil Mar Nafshe. The first is Iodine about pomegranate wine, where the Mechaber says we do say Umil Mar Nafshe.
It's juicy.
Yeah. The second case was Hilchos Tzitzis. Can you just close it up, please? Hilchos Tzitzis was the second case where the din is that if a guy tells you that a palace is made with kosher tzitzis, that you believe him because of Ulam Mar Nafshe. Our third case was in Hilchos Beitzim, where we said that if a guy comes and tells you that an egg comes from a certain bird, a kosher bird, in this case that's a turkey egg, he tells you that an egg is from a kosher bird, then you believe him. If he just tells you it's a kosher bird without telling you what it is, then we don't believe him. So again, another Umil Mar Nafshe. And the last case was in Hilchos Shatnez, where the other din is, by and large, we do not believe the guy. If he tells you that a suit is not shatnez, you don't believe him. If you tell him to make you a suit and use hemp threads instead of using linen threads, you don't believe him there either. The one case where we do believe him, the one case where we believe him is if you hand him the linen threads and you say to him, the hemp threads, the canapas, okay, the hemp threads, and you tell him to sew the suit with that, then in that case you believe him. If he comes back to you tomorrow with a made suit, you believe him that he used those threads, okay? And the question we talked about, I'll show you some details in a second, but the place we're going to talk about, how come in some cases we believe him, and particularly in the Shatnez case, we generally don't believe him. Even the egg case, it's a machlokes. I told you what the Ramah says, that we believe him. It's a question. Many others don't agree that you believe him. So the question is trying to understand why we believe him in some cases and not other cases. Okay? These are four cases in Shulchan Aruch, and we then applied them to two of our own cases. Okay, and the first was what the title of the shiur was, about Pesach medicine list, which is to say that yes, companies for information about medicines, and the company tells them, you know, it has chametz, it doesn't have chametz, or about cosmetics and things like that, and the people, based on what the company says, then they go forward, because they're trusting them, because Umul Mar Nafshe, they say, you're an Uman, you're people in charge of quality issues, if you tell me that it has chametz or doesn't have chametz, then they believe them. And the other case was a case about baked salad, where there was a reputable hashgacha, which was doing the following. In order to, the Hashgacha decided that the machinery was able to clean the lettuce if it came in with less than a certain amount of bugs. So if the number was less than 5 bugs in the head, then they could clean it. If it was too many bugs, it wouldn't clean it. But they let the plant personnel, non-Jews, make that decision if it had too many bugs coming. They weren't there when they made that decision. And then based on that, they would either put the Hashgacha on or not. And then the Hashgacha would check bags later to see if they were coming out clean, but they were leaving up to the company based on Umil Mar Nafshe, saying they wouldn't lie about whether they came in with 5 bucks or 10 bucks, and therefore, excuse me, they were trusting the gun. So we were trying to apply, once we hear our explanations, when we say Umil Mar Nafshe, when we do or we don't, to apply them to these two cases that were nice here. We're not thinking about buying tzitzis from Goyim or pomegranate wine or whatever, so we're going to apply them to these two cases, okay? So, and that was the case that we didn't, that we're not talking about, which we talk about when we get to Lachiyot, which was tuna fish. Okay, we talk about tuna fish, which is also very connected to the Shayin of Umil Mar Nafshe, but it has its own special twist to it. That's going to be for Lachiyot. Okay, so now, last time, we did three answers, three explanations. I'm not going to go through those three answers again, but I'm going to show you the green and the orange on this chart over here, is to show you that in the greens was the cases where what that Pesach said, what they explained, and we say Umil Mar Nafshe, fit with the dinim that we saw. Okay? So in the greens mean that it fit. It seemed to go well with what the din said, and the orange meant that it wasn't so clear. It wasn't so obvious how that Hesber could fit with the way we saw din Shohar. Okay?
What about other reasons simply that we're discussing that?
No, we're talking about Umil Mar Nafshe.
Okay?
Yes, actually, that's a good segue into what I'm about to tell you. Okay, so, but we're focusing on Umil Mar Nafshe. Okay, that's what I mean, it says that we open the din in the Hilchas Beitzim, it talks about you should believe him because when we're not sure, you shouldn't believe him. Okay?
Now, but those are the cases, the Pesach, and the Shabbat, there might be other reasons.
Right. I'm going to talk at the very end a little bit about that, but not really. Okay? So now, the next answer we have is from Magen Avraham. Okay? Magen Avraham is in Hilchas Tzitzis. I told you about this case in Hilchas Tzitzis. And he brings, there in Or Chaim, the Beis Yosef says, in the way we would have thought about it before we saw our Beis Yosef. If you remember, I didn't put it on the screen, the Beis Yosef by us said, you say Umanumar Nafshe when it's Ikka Lamit Badalav Tveya. I may not begin to work exactly right. Okay, when he's very particular. Over there, it's not what the Beis Yosef says. Over there in Or Chaim, the Beis Yosef says is, a guy would never lie, because a guy in business would lie, nobody will come back to him. No one will ever show up in his store again. Okay, in a very simple, straightforward way. You don't lie in business, because if you lie, your customers will never come back. Okay, it sounds very straightforward. So, which seems what we would have guessed before we listened to me the whole last week, okay? So the Magen Avraham is a kashana. He says, if I walk into a store, and someone who's not Jewish tells me, this meat is kosher meat, he says, why don't you believe him? If you say, a guy won't lie because he's afraid if he lies to you, then you won't come back and shop by him again. So why don't we believe the guy? The guy tells me, this is kosher meat. Why don't we believe him? Of course, we're not going to believe him. So why not? If there's such a rule as that people don't lie no matter what, they don't lie in business because if they lie, they'll lose all the customers. So why don't we believe in that case? Okay. So the Magen Avraham says, no. So really it's because you don't, but the Beis Yosef should not be taken literally. Okay, but Beis Yosef in Or Chaim says that it's that the reason, you see, Umar Nafshi just he's afraid no one would lie, he says it's not true. He says not what the Beis Yosef means. Beis Yosef means is if something to do with his umness is on the line, if he's talking about something that relates to his particular skill that he has or his trade that he has, that's the thing that a person wouldn't lie about. Okay? This part of the Magen Avraham is very much like the first answer in the Chamsi. Okay? He won't lie when it comes to that. So the guy telling you that it's kosher meat has nothing to do with his umness. As opposed to that person has nothing to do with his umness. As opposed to, he doesn't say this, but as opposed to, he sort of says it, in our case, by the Yain Rimonim, okay, his business is he's a pharmacist. Okay? He's giving you medicine. Okay? It's something that's there for medicinal purposes. So if he lies to you or he misleads you about whether this is medicine or it's not medicine, then you won't trust him as a pharmacist. It has to do with his illness. So for that kind of thing, that's where you believe him. But believing him about whether meat is kosher has nothing to do with his illness. Okay? So now the Magen Avraham asks on himself. He says, okay, so why the Hilchas Tzitzis do we believe the guy? Okay? Why do we believe him when he says, the Hilchas Tzitzis has nothing to do with his illness? Okay? And people asked last week, well, maybe it's talking about a case that is his illness. I looked at it again, and the Beis Yosef says specifically that the person who's selling the Tzitzis is not only selling Tzitzis. Okay? It's a clothing store. Okay? And one of the things he has is Talisim. Okay, one of the things he has to tell you. I mean, it's not his umness to sell tzitzis. His umness is to sell clothes. So if he come in and tell you that this is a size 10 and it's really a size 12, that's to do with his umness. He's tricking you on what exactly the thing that's his umness. But whether it's kosher tzitzis or not kosher tzitzis is not him. So that's the Magen Avraham's kasha. He says it's true that he doesn't want to lie, but I just told you that just lying in business is not enough to say umma the nafshi. Okay, so the Magen Avraham says that there's an extra svara here. There's the minimal umanur anafshi of a person doesn't lie in business. He says, that's usually not enough. But over here, there's a tziruf of something else. He says, Goyim don't have talisim. Okay, they don't have, so to speak, like access to having talisim. He says, it's meduig. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, which is sort of from a Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says the case is the guy selling a palace. He says, he's not selling tzitzis, he's selling talisim. He says, if we talk about selling tzitzis, that's just strings. So Goyim get a string, they don't get fine strings. But to have the garment, that we call a talus, okay, to have a talus with strings on it, totally not normal for a guy to have that. And therefore, that betziruf, the fact that there's a minimal umanur manafshe, is why we should believe him. Okay? So he says it's really the din in Or Chaim, when it says you believe the person about the talus, which has to do with umanur manafshe, that's not the whole thing. There's other things going on here why we should believe him. Okay? Okay. So I'm not going to... Oh, I'm not going to say that yet. Okay, take it back. Okay. Okay, I will show you that. Okay. So I don't have more to say. The Magen Avraham, aside from what he's answered different about tzitzis, aside from he said that tzitzis is different because of the special svara, is really similar enough to the first Chachamim's answer. So the chart looks the same. The case where we should or shouldn't believe him, I'm not going to go over those details. Okay. That was the Magen Avraham. Taz.
Chart looks the same.
It is. Except for the case of that the tzitzit, from the Magen, except that the tzitzit, the Magen Rabbah had a special reason for that, the tzitzit is the same, that the, when it fits with the din and when it doesn't fit with what the din said, what's the same? Okay. Taz is like this. The Taz says, an uman, who, let's do the case of tzitzit, so easy to explain in that case. He says, when the guy's selling a talus, okay, well, let's say a talus costs $100, okay, so let's say a talus costs $100, okay, and if he's selling a talus without kosher tzitzit on it, it sells for $100, and you sell it with tzitzit, it sells for $110, okay, it has extra value because it has its tzitzit on it, okay. She says, so when a person's an uman and he wants to make this thing more desirable, to sell it for a little bit of a better price, he's not willing to risk his whole umness in order to make this little extra. To make these things a little bit more desirable, he won't cheat for that. Okay? What he would cheat is if he has lots to gain. Okay? If he has something to sell you that he has that he has lots to gain by doing that, then for that, the uman would take a risk. But to risk everything just for this little benefit, which is I could sell the towels a little better or for a little bit more money, he says that the uman is not willing to do. Okay, and the Taz says himself also, and that's why, I think the Taz says this, that's why, again, Shukhrov says the case of a talus rather than tzitzis. If he was selling tzitzis, we would not believe him. If he came and told you the strings that these were made this small, we would not believe him. It's only because he's selling you a talus that basically the talus is just as valuable. Wouldn't make difference who made the talus. The fact that it has the strings on it gives it like this extra value. For that, the guy wouldn't cheat for that. Okay. Okay. So let's go to our case of shotness. I give him in shotness the advantage is not a financial advantage. Okay. In tzitzis, you could sell them faster or for more money. In shotness, the Rama says the advantage of using linen over hemp is that it's easier to sew with. Okay? But, so it works better. If you're a tailor, it's easier to work with linen than it is with hemp. That's what the Rama says. So if I go to the uman, to the tailor, and I say to him, here's a roll of hemp. I want you to sew with this thing. So now he has a choice. He can make me a suit, and he can make it easier for him by using the linen thread that he has anyhow, or he can make it a little more difficult and use the hemp that I handed him. Okay, so for the Taz will say is for that little benefit, the little benefit of making it easier to sew and use what the guy asked for that I'm not willing to give up to risk my illness on it. Okay, but in the two cases when the person is not believed, in both of those cases, in the case of a suit that was already made, when I come to my table, I want to buy this suit. You say, is it shotness? He says, no, there's no shotness in it. Okay? There's not a little benefit over here. Okay? The customer is going to walk out the door if the suit is shotness. He's not going to buy you a suit that's shotness. So there, the Taz will say, there, we do not see umun or not. The fact that over there he has lots to gain. The entire sale is hanging on that answer. Okay? So for there, we're not going to see umun or not. Okay? And the same thing by the yen reminim. As I can imagine, we're not choshish that he switched the yen reminim for grape wine. The choshish is that he mixed in some. Okay, I don't think that it's unreasonable. He can hand you grape juice, and you're going to think it's pomegranate juice. Or grape wine, you're going to think it's pomegranate wine. Okay, so the point is that you're choshish that he mixed in some of it into it. Okay, so again, that's an example where the guy's getting a little bit of benefit. He's getting a little bit of benefit of he could swipe in instead of, you know, pomegranate wine goes for $1 a gallon, and this goes for 75 cents. See, he can get a little bit by adding it in to dilute 5% of it with grape wine. That we wouldn't be choshish. Okay? And the same thing by the eggs also. Same thing by the eggs also. That the all the eggs, but let's say he has turkey eggs. He has turkey eggs and ostrich eggs. Okay, ostrich eggs are too big. Okay, turkey eggs and I don't know some other birds' eggs that are trace. Okay, some other birds' eggs that are close enough that nobody would know the difference. Okay, they all have value to them. The point is just he could sell for a little bit more if he's giving me a turkey egg or a kosher egg. So in that case also we believe. The uman, because the uman would be lari mara nafshe for that little benefit of selling it for a little bit more. And last, for our two cases...
I just want to make sure I understood that.
Right.
So the case of the shatnez, you're saying that the customer would not buy it at all because of shatnez.
Right.
Because it's not...
He's going to lose the entire sale. If I walk in...
And by the egg, if it's not a kosher egg, then what's
going to happen? No, because by the egg, but you're saying, because I won't buy this specific egg from you.
Right.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong about that. To me, if I'm an egg person who sells eggs, so then I sell eggs. So if I lose one egg, I don't think that's like a big deficit.
How do you know that he's only selling one egg? Maybe he's selling a lot of eggs.
100 eggs. So maybe he's selling me 100 eggs, and I'm going to walk out.
The whole turkey eggs.
Right. I'm going to walk out on the deal. Okay. That's fair.
Okay.
That's a good question. I'm not sure the answer to that. I'm not sure. The Taz doesn't take any of these cases. You see there's no dots in him, in the Taz. Okay, I'm just piecing together, trying to make a cheshbon for it. Okay, maybe it's wrong. It happens to be in the egg case. In the egg case, we're going with what the Rambam said, that you should believe the guy. Okay, the Rambam for sure holds you don't believe the person. It's a shiloh whether the Mechaber feels like that also. That maybe we should not see him in the Marshay. Okay, it's up in the air what they did. I'm going with what the Rambam says, that we do believe a guy who says that. Okay, but it's not clear. So, you'll tell me that the hazard for the other side, you know? I'm the easy way out on that one. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, now. So this is where our chart holds. In our lettuce and our medicine, again, the guy has very little to gain by telling me something that's not true. Okay, what he has to gain is very little. That some Yidden will buy his medicine over Pesach is in the big scheme of things is a very small difference. So the Taz says when in that kind of a case, when you have a little bit to gain, it makes you think a little bit more desirable. Okay, then we could say Umar Nafshe, and that the person tells it to us, we can believe him. Okay. Same by the last. Okay. For our last answer, is Nev Yehuda. Okay. Nev Yehuda is actually talking about Pesach Shiloh, which was that the people who sold sugar, there was a chashash that they would mix flour into the sugar. Okay. And they would dilute, the flour was cheaper, and there was a chashash that people would take sugar and dilute it with flour. So, of course, you can't use it on Pesach if there's a chashash that there's sugar, if there's flour in it. So the first half of the tshuva is about whether we should be choshish that the manufacturer does it. Okay, that's not negatas. Okay, well, there's all kinds of discussions about whether we think the manufacturer does that. But then comes the second half of the tshuva is about whether the merchant would do it. The guy selling it in your local neighborhood supermarket, would he mix in the flour? And then he talks about whether we should say umlam or nafshi. Okay?
They do it because it's cheaper?
I'm assuming because it's cheaper. I'm assuming that's right. I don't remember if that's what he said. I'm assuming it's just because it was cheaper. So the first thing he starts with is he says he doesn't buy the magen avraham. And Toyed the Magen Avraham says that tzitzis is special because goyim don't have talisim, they couldn't have a talis with tzitzis on it, they would never have, and that's all. But he says it's not true. Okay, he brings a bunch of riyas from the fact that in all kinds of cases, poskim for sure, and even rishonim, compare the case of talis to all kinds of other cases. They bring riyas from it, they bring riyas to it, all kinds of back and forth, as if talis is a plain old-fashioned case of umul lamar nafshe. Not the way the Magen Avraham is saying is that it's a tier from Ulamar and Nafshi with something else. Okay, it's a tier from that together with the fact there's some special rule about Talasim that Goyim won't have Talasim. Okay, so he doesn't buy it. He says, he doesn't accept the Magen Avraham. He says like this. He says, a Goy never has Nemanis. Okay, he brings a bunch of riots. No matter what, even Ulamar and Nafshi doesn't give him Nemanis to say something happened. Okay. All it does is, it has nothing to do with believing him. We don't believe him. All it does is for the following case. He says, if the guy would have to actively do something, he'd have to go out of his way to do something, to ruin this thing, or to make a trade, or to whatever he has to do, that's the case when we believe the guy, if he's an Uman. A regular person who's not Jewish, he might even do that. But the Uman wouldn't risk his Umness to actively go ahead and do something that would ruin something, or to make it not kosher, etc., or something like that. Okay? So he says, by the piece of meat, what you're wanting to say is that it is or is not kosher. Okay, that's something that he didn't have to do something. He had a piece of meat in his fridge, and you wanted to buy from him, and he says, yeah, it's kosher meat. Okay, so just a straight name on this. Is it true or is it not true? Is it yes or no? That we say, no, we don't believe. Okay, but if he brings you a talus, in order to have this talus to be not kosher, it means that he went ahead, he made strings that looked like talisim and stuck them onto a talus. Okay, he doesn't have talisim laying around that are not kosher. He would have had to go ahead and done that actively by himself. That an umum would not kosher, she would do that. Okay, so it's never a case of umness. Now, I have to tell you, he doesn't bring any riyas to this chiluk. Okay, a lot of the other answers we've heard fit more smoothly into what the Beis Yosef said, that it's ikel amikvah lo tfei. You know, he's very makbid about certain things. This has nothing to do with his hakpada. It has to do with would he go out maliciously, like to get you or not, or just tell you the not truth. But that's what he says. Okay? Okay, so we're not according to this, not so clear why, by the case of the eggs, we should believe him. Why would the Rambam say to believe him? The egg seems to be exactly the same case as the piece of meat. Okay, he has an egg in front of him. He's telling me it comes from this bird and not from that bird. So it's just a matter of honesty. Do we believe him or do we not believe him? Not clear why we should believe in that case. And in the case of shatness, we sort of understand that. Okay, if he comes and tells me that the suit that was already made is not shatness, we don't believe him. That's a question just of the truth. Either he's telling the truth or he's not telling the truth, we don't believe him. If I hand him the hemp and I say to him, please make me a suit with this, that's a case where we should believe him. Because if he didn't make the suit with that means he went and out of his way, took the thread that I gave him, and instead switched it for something else, that would not choshesh a guy would do that. Okay, when he's an umum, we're not choshesh about that. It's not clear why, if there's another case in Shulchan Aruch, if I tell him to use the hemp, then why don't we believe in that case also? Then he would also have to go ahead and go out of his way to use the wrong one. Okay, I'm not sure.
Is he talking about our regular refined sugar?
As far as I know.
It's not much flour you can mix in there without
being noticeable. Okay, so maybe their sugar was finer, maybe they had maybe it's confectionery sugar. Maybe it's confectionery sugar. Obviously, it was a real shash. I mean, I can't tell you whether, I'm believing him on that. Okay? Just like I told you that the Rambam talks about a test that you could do to tell whether something is shatness or not. Okay, whether the test works or not is not important to us. We just have to figure that in the feed the way the Rambam understood.
In Lubavitch, a lot of people are more mocked because of that. They say a little grain of wheat,
and they won't use sugar.
They won't use sugar on.
Oh yeah, yeah. There are plenty of people who do not use sugar on pancakes. Yeah, because there was a chashash of people doing. Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's correct.
But how's the medicine? So, isn't there a big company?
So I'm going to talk about some of that in a second, but what we're trying to do is follow the rules. So I'm going to go to the medicine right now. Okay.
All the considerations. Mm-hmm. Does that really apply to a big company that has a quality control person when it comes to medicines? If they start lying or fudging about any of the ingredients, they're not going to
worry about it. Okay, so it's a shiloh here, I'll answer for now. For now, I'm going to say more in a second, but for now, I'm going to say to you, it's a shiloh and din. Should we say umun or anashi, not umun or anashi? If he doesn't have the manas, he doesn't have the manas. We could come up with our own ideas. If there's a rule, that there's a way to believe a person because of what you said. It's called umun or anashi. But if he doesn't have the manas, like in this case, let's say in the case of the medicine, the way the Yehuda explained it, the Yehuda says that you only believe if you have to actively do something to have cheated. But if you just tell me a piece of information, we don't believe you, even if you're an umun. So that's what the medicine company is. The medicine company, they didn't go ahead and do anything bad. They made the medicine. Now you come back reporting, they wouldn't have cheated to put in chametz. They'd say, is it chametz or is it not chametz? So now it's just a matter of them on this. And the Yehuda says, in that case, we don't believe the guy. Okay? Now, most of the other people thought you should believe him because of an umun. So the Yehuda made the rule. He said, umun lamar nafshi only works to tell us that he wouldn't actively do something. So the Yehuda says, so in that case, so we shouldn't believe him. Okay? So it's a, but if we're, for this part, until I get to the next section, sort of. We're only going within the strict rule that it says over here. Okay. The lettuce case also is the same kind of a thing. Okay. The company is lettuce is a drop debtor. Maybe the company has to forge records to do this, and maybe that's considered that he's that should be a question mark. I'm sorry. Maybe they have to forge letters or forge paperwork in order to do that. Maybe that's considered like he's active duty. Okay.
What do you mean letters?
They, every time a batch comes in, they were marking off how many bugs we found. So they say 2 bugs in this batch, 4 bugs in this batch, 8 bugs in that batch.
That's not really changing that much.
They have to write down the wrong number.
Right, they have to write down the wrong number.
Recording, that's not
batch. Right, so
not that, creating the
must, so I, to me, I wasn't clear if you should say that's something like you're actively using. The Uman wouldn't go ahead and do something, actively to cheat. The Nubi says that's the only time we say that. Right, or should just tell me the truth.
Recording of your cheat.
It's writing down in the record of the company makes it review that false information.
Right, it's a little.
No, it's not. Nothing. So it's a little bit. It's worse than just you come in, you ask some questions orally, and you say something.
But okay, I'm not now. The next thing I have to tell you is like this. Okay, I told you. Look at this really great chart. It's a real David chart. Okay, look at this chart. Right. Look at David chart. Okay, and in this way of looking at it as, I have 6 answers for you to explain when we say umun or anashi, when we don't. Okay, and now, oh my gosh, we filled in some of them with green boxes and orange boxes. We filled with all kinds of things, but everybody agrees to all the kind of cases. And just about every single one of those people is not green all the way across. And just about every one of them bangs into a case where the Shulchan Aruch says a certain din, and he can't explain it. Okay, or he potentially can't explain it. So we're like, it's sort of that itself tells us that maybe we don't have this exactly right now. Okay, and maybe we need to step back a little bit and think like this. The Magen Avraham told us what he thought was the rule of when to say umul lemar nafshi and umul lemar nafshi. And then he asked himself, wait a second, the case of tzitzis doesn't fit. Okay, he says, the case of tzitzis doesn't fit. So he says, oh, well, tzitzis is an extra sorrow. I have a new reason why you should believe me in the case of tzitzis. Okay? It makes you think that really what everybody's saying is not so specific. If you remember, if you realize, everybody who I told you so far is all Achron who are saying answers. Okay, the Rishonim don't say anything like this. You get the feeling that it's more like what the Beis Yosef said, that when there's Ikka, Lemikud, Tvei Allah, Demilsa, when you're very machmid, that's when you believe the guy. When you're not very machmid, you don't believe the guy. And now, everyone's giving their twist on exactly what does it mean to be very machmid or not very machmid. You don't believe him in every case, but you believe him in certain cases. So Lefi, the case that they were dealing with, they could say, in this case, the rule is the following. In this case, the rule is the following. That doesn't mean, some of them, Lehen, you say, I don't hold to that person. The Nagdi says, I don't hold to what the Magen Avraham says. But I'm not convinced that any of them don't hold up the other ones. Okay, when you're to face another case, if the Chamsi would have talked about sugar that has maybe flour mixed into it, maybe he would have said a different explanation. Meaning, I'm taking the way the chart looks, it's so boxed in that I only say one answer. That's the only case you could believe the Uman. I'm not convinced about that. Okay, the Chashulchan says, he says, in all these kind of shahs, Aruch Shulchan is like us, Kufi Talib, he says, in all these kind of cases, everything is Darmazet Tolu Fi Ha'is. Okay? Whether you should believe the person, you shouldn't believe him, it depends on the kind of people they are. Okay? It depends on, so that means to say is, maybe life is not so formal and so rigid that each sheet only holds of their thing and that's it, but that it's a little broader and that we could sort of use our judgment a little bit, what he was trying to say is a little bit, we have to look and say, realistically, does this Uman is the kind of guy who's very careful? Is this a situation where you'd be extra careful or not? And these are will then be just examples of cases where there's more sorrow or less sorrow to believe a person, but not that they're the give all end all, it's the end of the whole Shaila Tadok. Okay.
So you make a general Hashara is just the Uman or any answer?
No, it's for Uman. It's a special rule for Uman. When it was a person who's a professional takes more, is more careful about what he speaks. And then we say that Uman wouldn't lie. So the quality control people in the company are very careful because of their reputation, etc., etc. Okay, now, until now, the whole last time, and until now, even today, we talked about things in a very halachic manner. Okay, do we apply the rule? Do we not apply the rule? Should we say Uman the Ranashe? Should we not say Uman the Ranashe? Okay, that's we were very by the books. But there's a whole group of practical considerations also. Okay, I'm going to focus on the case that's most to our hearts, which is the Pesach medicine list, okay? And talk about whether in practice we could say Uman Lemar Nafshi in those cases. Okay? And again, we're moving away from the strict halachic, should I say it only if he's influenced on this? What if it's for Yidden? And only for Goyim? Those are very, you know, strict rules of when we sure shouldn't believe him. Now we're going to move to some more practical things, okay? Not everything I'm going to say, but a lot of the things I'm going to say were brought up about 10 years ago. There was a big meeting of Rabbanim from different Hashgachas. It was a very interesting meeting. The meeting had a table in the middle where the Poskim for different Hashgachas were sitting.
Here in Chicago?
No, it was in New York. And it had another table around that of experts from different Hashgachas who were there to stick in their two cents as needed, people that they had questions. And people on the inside table went through this long list of questions and things to consider about these medicine lists. The people on the outside were there just to listen, they were curious, but also to type in specific people who were there to be able to stick in what they knew things about medicines and ingredients and things like that, what, as needed, that's what they were there for.
And you were at the meeting?
I was at the meeting, yeah. What? So it was... It was a little bit political because there were people who were insulted that they weren't on the inside table instead of the outside table, as you can imagine. But what we did was, Rabbi Heber and I were the I don't want to say referees, but moderators. So Rabbi Heber punked in the last minute, something happened that he couldn't come. But we stood in the middle. between the two tables, and we went through the questions and helped try to keep us focused on the things. You know? So if you like, you could tell me I was on the inside table, the outside table, wherever you'd rather put me. Okay? Anyhow, okay, thanks. So let's go like this. Okay, so I have a few things to consider. Okay, the first, like this. If we're going to believe people because there's Uman, okay, which person qualifies as the Uman? And there was a big difference of opinion about that question. Is when we say that the Uman Lamar Nafshe, does that mean is I have to go to the guy who sits at a desk that says quality control on top of his desk, and he's the person, he's the lab technician, he's the guy who knows about ingredients and approves them and this and that, he's the Uman, he really is the Uman? Or is it okay to get an answer from a consumer representative who answers questions from outsiders? They send them a letter, say, hi, can you tell me this is Chametz? And that person finds out the answers. Okay, and that person responds to you. Now, that person who responds to you, they, of course, know nothing. They don't know anything, whether there's Chametz or not in there. They have to turn back to the quality people in the company and say, can tell me, is it Chametz or is it not Chametz? So, is that a case where the Uman is putting his umness on the line? That's what Rabbi Hyndman thought. He said, Lamais is when the company representative answers a question, then he's putting the company's reputation and the quality people's reputation, those people's reputation on the line. He's speaking as an Uman. And others said, no, that person's not an Uman. That's just a guy that paid $12 an hour to answer the phone. I mean, they don't have any Umanness. They're just repeating the answer.
Can I say that?
Of course you can.
So there's a company that we certified. They changed their name often, Mallinckrodt. It's a huge company. Really huge. You have to walk for blocks. They own it. The name of the street is Mallinckrodt over there in St. Louis. And they deal with pharmaceuticals. And I went there one time, and I was dealing not with the secretary, but actually someone, I think it was quality control either, and I got wrong information. I simply got wrong information.
Okay, I'm going to come to that. I'm going to come to that in a second. Towards the end. Okay. So the first question was, which person is the Uman? Okay, which person do I have to talk to say this person is Uman, and we can say the Uman Lamar Nafshe? Okay, the second is, the way, when you go to a company, and we're going to use sorbitol as an example, okay, you go to the company, and they make some medicine, and say, this sorbitol in your medicine that you make, tell me, is that sorbitol Chametz? Okay, the medicine company doesn't make sorbitol. Okay, they don't make sorbitol. They buy sorbitol, okay? How do you make sorbitol? You take starch, okay? And you turn it into sugar, okay? Glucose, okay? And then you turn the glucose into sorbitol, okay? So when you go to the medicine company and you say to them, tell me, is your sorbitol Chametz? So they say, well, we have no idea if our sorbitol is Chametz. So they go back to the manufacturer of the sorbitol and say, tell me, is your sorbitol Chametz? Okay? So the manufacturer, the guy who made the sorbitol, he has no idea if it's Chametz. He has to go back to the person who sold him the glucose and say to him, excuse me, sir, is your glucose Chametz? Now that guy knows what was the starch or the starting material that he used to make the glucose in the first place. Okay? So that means the question that I asked to the company, to the medicine company, I asked him a question that went back from him back to a supplier, maybe with a distributor in the middle, to a supplier, back to the guy who made the glucose in the first place, and that guy has to now tell us what starch to use. So let's say the person at the medicine company is the Uman. Okay, he's Uman Lamar Nafshe. He would never risk his reputation to tell me something if it wasn't the truth. But he is other people who are very hidden. Okay, are those people Umanim? And did he get that information all the way back? So now it's a judgment. If he's an Uman, he only asks Umanim, who asks Umanim, that's sort of how the chain goes back. He doesn't just ask any Shemendrick, he doesn't go, hi, tell me, is your glucose Chametz? He's asking someone who is an Uman, that's like his peer who he speaks to. Okay, so that's a question, is whether all those people are necessarily Umanim. Okay, that's a question. That's a question, whether those people
there
are
multiple suppliers. And how do you know?
Okay. No.
He's not going to give a straight answer. Let's just
tell him. No. That's my next point is, which is, my next point is that even if all the people who ask are Umnin, and they ask all the way, chain all the way back that are Umnin, okay, these things they're not steady. They don't stay the way that they are like this. Okay, in this case, we have a bunch of chains over here. The medicine company bought sorbitol, okay? They bought, who bought glucose, who bought starch, okay? Any of those things are subject to change. Okay, so even if today they told me the truth, even if today when on Tu B'Shvat we asked them and they asked all the people back and they gave me back an answer to Tu B'Shvat, yes, everything is fine. Okay, but those things they're not committed to that. They're just, even if we say that tell us the truth, they don't know the truth today. That's the truth tomorrow. If they switch suppliers, they get a new person who gives them any of these steps, gets something new along the way. then it won't work. Okay. Now, another thing is, related to the fact that it's such a chain, is it was once suggested to one of the people who's involved in this, and said to him like this, I think we should, you send a very generic letter that says to the company, please tell me if any of the things that you make are made with wheat, rye, spelt, oats, or barley, whatever, something, a very generic type of letter. So somebody said to one of them, a conscious person said to them, he says, I'll tell you what, I want to give you, instead, let's look at the medicines, I'll look in the PDR, and I'll see in there what the ingredients are, and I will write you specific questions for your company, rather than just a generic letter that says, please tell me if any of the things that you have are made with wheat, rye, spelt, something like that, some kind of a more broad question, I'll write specific questions to the company. And like an example like this, if your item has sorbitol in it, I'm going to say to you, please ask your sorbitol manufacturer if he could go back to the person who buys the glucose, who can tell him whether the starch that he uses in making this thing, whether that is starch is wheat, rye, spelt, oats, or barley. Okay, and then please go ask that person to tell you all the way back, because that's really the question they should be asking. And the response back from that person was, they'll never answer that question. If I ask him that question, of course he's not going to answer. Okay, so to which this cautious person said to him, well, if they're not, if you don't think they have to answer that question, then you're not getting the answer that you want to. Meaning, that's really the question we have to know. What starch should they make the glucose out of?
Can I write an answer to that question?
It's too complicated. It's a way complicated question. Our medicine company have to go to the sorbitol guy and say, sorbitol guy, please ask your glucose, the guy who you get your glucose from, if he could tell us what the starch is made from. Okay, that's a very many steps away. Okay?
There's no relationship to the company. You can't force him to do it.
Right, we just ask him
hard enough to get through the culture.
This becomes relevant when it comes to allergens. So I could imagine that this is something that they would want to know.
So if it was taco relevant, if it was relevant to allergens, then they have their own mahala of how to deal with that. Okay? These things, if they're made from they would love that, would be an allergen concern. So companies are set up with that musad of, we have to deal with making sure there's no allergens. Okay? If I made this, this would come back. I've told you this before, I've said this beforehand, that I looked at a spec sheet for whiskey. The spec sheet was not written for the rabbis. Okay, there's 20 pages of specs about the whiskey, and some page buried along there, he wanted to know whether it was gluten-free. I said, yes, it's gluten-free. Okay, because it really is, even though it's made of barley, it was scotch, okay, it's made from barley, the whole thing is pure hummus. But when you think of the perspective from a gluten perspective, there's no gluten carrying over here. Okay, so when you think of allergens are the proteins. So you say, sorbitol has no protein in it. So what I'm saying, so in that, this
is gluten-free or is allergen-free?
No, it's gluten-free.
Meaning it's considered wheat allergen
of wheat is gluten?
Yeah, the protein. Yeah, the allergen is the protein should work. So what I'm saying is that if they have a setup to make these determinations, so when Mr. Sorbitol goes in, is your stuff gluten-free, then that's the setup for that. That's set.
Even if that's the case, and if there's no allergen in it, then he might even say, oh yeah, it's gluten-free, because he thinks that he's what you're asking.
That's true. He may be misunderstanding.
Yeah, I'm
asking. Okay, that's true.
I give you 100 different between us, 100 vials of glucose come from different starches. Is there any possible way to differentiate?
I don't know. I don't know why that make a difference. I don't have access to it anyway. I'm not sure.
Does every medicine show inactive ingredients?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, another point is that we think of things based on our culture and what we're used to. So in the United States. Yochum was just mentioning about allergens, and Lady mentioned it before, and companies are very sensitive to allergens and telling you truth about ingredients and this and that. And that's how we operate, because we're used to that style of how things are done. Okay, Ladafka, does that translate into every company, like to small companies, and even kosher cane to many places in the Far East, where a lot of these ingredients come from, where they don't have the same cultural sensitivity to these kind of things. So it's not as clear that they're as straightforward or as umnen as we are about these kind of things. And we see it, or we know every so often comes up once in a while a story about people who are cheating. Okay, that happens once in a while, not such a big deal. But also, look at companies with negative reviews about their products online, and they don't care, they just keep on going, you know, doesn't throw them about their stuff, you know. Okay, last thing is like this. We this is what Maish was referring to. When we go to companies and we call them up. They want having an initial inspection. So I call them up today and I say to them, Bob, how you doing? Okay, I'm going to come down on Tuesday to see what's in your company. Please tell me this and all this kind of information. And they do. And they tell you a whole slew of information. Okay, and I'm coming on Tuesday. Okay, as soon as we finish Labor Day, I'm on my way over to your company to come see it over. And guess what happens when we come there? Okay, love basket is always the way they told us. Sometimes they're trying to trick us, but more often than not, they're not trying to trick us. They're just, I didn't think you cared about that thing. I didn't mean that when you said this, what you said before, and when you said wheat, I thought you meant gluten, and that. So maybe you don't want to see. The guy was saying love basket, even that he's being malicious. Okay, but how often does it happen? We get the information from them, and then we come down. Oh, you care about this. I didn't realize that. I didn't think so. They know you're coming. Okay, 2 days later, you're going to be in the plant. Okay, so what I'm saying is that it makes you wonder about Umalaranache type of svaras, but just because we have experience. You know, we sit there and we watch when these things happen, and we're going to come to the next day. We're about to show up. We know what they're supposed to, what's going to happen. So all these bunch of five or six things, I don't remember how many I said, just give pause to thinking about whether we should apply Umalaranache by the medicine and things like that. Or at least say that if you want to do that, then you have to do it more intelligently. You have to do it more carefully and more thought out than just saying like that. Now, so just to switch a drop for a minute, we're not off of Umalaranache. The people who do this have two other cheshbonos going on. Okay? And that is, they say is, listen.
People do what?
Who make the list. Say, you should know that almost everything that could be chametz or not chametz, I'm not talking about that has wheat in it. That's only, let's say, sorbitol. Almost everything that's made with those, in those kinds, that could or cannot be chametz, it's almost always not chametz. Okay, so Ikra did it, probably you could assume that it's not chametz. See, so all I'm doing is a chumra ba'alma, I'm just trying to be extra careful. So, whatever I can do, that's what I can do. Okay, and the other variation of that is that most of these things are in not edible forms. Okay, they're in like pill forms. So, it's just being extra cautious that I want to make sure that it's in no chametz. So whatever I can find that, I can find out. But if I can't find out, it's fine. So, what I'm trying to do is Umalaranache, but if it doesn't work perfectly, okay, that's fine. That's all I have to do. I'm doing as much as I can. What I can do. Okay, and there's legitimacy to both of those points. Okay, both of those would say is really, it's more direct anyhow. So you want to be extra careful and weed out a couple of pieces of chametz here and there. Okay, so whatever it's worth. So the company comes telling me this one's chametz, so that's what I won't use. But by and large, it was mutter anyhow. If they would have told me, I would have followed the ikkar. Then it would have been mutter anyhow. And there's merit to that. Just that if that's really what's going on, then you have to think sometimes when you ask the question about something that's not one of those things. It is edible, it's a liquid or a powder, and it's not something that's so critical. And the people who were looking at your piece of paper, they wouldn't have taken that. They would have taken this thing for, let's say, for heartburn. They would say, okay, listen, on Pesach, I'm going to be extra mark, but I'm not willing to say, yeah, the ikra din is that it's roiv, it's mutrini. I'm not ready for that. You know, I'll suffer with a little heartburn, you know. So my hair won't be as shiny as it was last year. You know? Okay, so I'll live with that. You know, I can handle that. I can handle that. A lot of people who, they take, they once you get into the mode of looking at the list, and you look at things for things that maybe don't meet these criteria, okay. I'm saying falling back more seriously on Umalaranache, which we raise some questions about.